Welcome into another episode of the Bengals Beat podcast. Continuing on this offseason with our players guest, I'm super excited to have Jamar Chase in the studio today. Jamar, thanks for giving me some of your time and coming on over today.
Thanks for having me. No problem.
So this is my first podcast episode with you. Hopefully more to come. Mm-hmm. But I almost don't even know where I want to start with this interview because I've been waiting because there's just so many questions that I'd love to ask you. So I guess I'll just start with, for those who are listening, Jamar just finished off-season practice. How's off-season been for you?
Yeah, it's been good. It's been fun, actually. Learning more about the offense that I didn't know last year. So that's kind of something I'm impressed with so far.
Has it felt almost like you didn't get a break at all because the season went so long and then snap your fingers, you're back on the field in May?
I felt like I had a break. Yeah. I was in Miami for a bit of time, so I trained out there and ride the boat and on the ocean, so I felt good.
How long did you give yourself after the Super Bowl before you started training again?
A whole month.
Wow.
A whole month, yeah.
I assume you work with a trainer. Did you guys have like a schedule or was that just you listening in your body saying, I need more time?
No, I did a schedule for myself. I took a whole month off and then went right back into it. But it was mostly just trying to get back in shape first. And then I started on the field a little late. So, that was my first off season. So now I know what to be prepared for next year.
That's interesting that you can take a month off and not lose a step because I took a month off from working out at Orange Theory and boy, did I feel it on the treadmill and said, I will never take off more than a week ever again in my life.
I mean, it's a difference.
I guess it's the difference between you also being a professional athlete and me just being a mediocre athlete. So I don't even know why.
You're also getting hit too. So that kind of
need
the body to relax a little bit.
Yeah. So how are you feeling right now? Feel good?
I feel good. Yeah, I feel great.
You were able to get through your first season without really any major injuries, correct?
Correct. Yeah, correct.
Yeah, that knock on wood. We continue
beat
that.
Beat me to it. Beat me to
it. But I know for some guys like Joe, that wasn't the case because they got a little banged up and they probably needed a little bit more time. But he said he only took a week off. Does that surprise you at all?
No, not really. Not with Joe. I mean, he doesn't really do much anyways, but the week off, I don't see it.
Yeah.
He need more time for himself.
Yeah. Well, he said he just can't sit around and get fat. He's happier when he's working out and doing things.
That's understandable.
Yeah.
That's for some people. Yeah, I can understand that.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to ask you about Joe right now because I want to ask you more about your journey to the NFL. But I want to start with your hometown. How did you start playing football?
I just started playing. I just told my dad one day, I wanted to play football. I started at 9, but I started, kind of late, later than my friends. And my first time making a play in football was, I play safety, okay?
Okay.
So, that's, something nobody would ever hear. I play safety.
Heard it here first on Bengals Beat Podcast.
I played safety at Park Ball, and then, my first big play was, a fumble pickup, and I ran for, about 50, 60 yards.
Okay.
But I didn't score. And I guess I showed off my speed, but I didn't show off how to score football. So that's when maybe three more games later, they moved me to running back. And that's when I stayed there my rest of my journey till middle school.
So then middle school, how'd you transition from running back to receiver?
My coach just threw me there. He was like, you just go play receiver and we're going to try to get you the ball. I'm like, okay. They just made me run down the field, go routes and throw the ball to me.
Okay, so then let's go to high school.
Mm-hmm.
When you went to high school in Louisiana, I know football is a different deal down there. Yeah. I'm not even going to try to understand it because I'm from right outside of Baltimore, Maryland, and football is kind of a big deal, but not really. And then Ohio, it's a pretty big deal here, but Louisiana down there, it's a different. So did you go to the high school because you went to private school, right?
I did.
Did you go there to play football? Is it one of those, so I went to a high school that's known for. I went to a private Catholic high school that's known for their football. I think actually Stephon Diggs went to my high school.
Mm.
So there are players that go to Good Counsel for football.
Right, right.
Is that how it was, or were you always planning to go to this high school?
Yeah, I did actually go there for football. They recruited me to play football. So that was kind of cool. But at the same time, I thought I was going there for basketball.
Oh.
Yeah, so that was kind of cool.
So you played basketball as well?
I did, yeah.
I assume you were pretty good?
Yeah, I started off at 6 years old playing basketball.
Oh, what position?
Point guard, shooting guard. I basically played everything until I got to high school.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you played football in the fall, basketball in the winter.
And track.
Track. Mm-hmm. What did you run in track?
I did 200 and 100. I stopped doing those once I realized guys were fast. And then I just started doing long jump. And I got a state record of 24 feet, 2 inches. And
wow.
Hopefully it's still holding there right now.
When was the last time you've ever done a long jump?
That was my first year doing long jump, too, and I won state. Yeah.
Classic. Just your first year, you happen to win state. Like, I feel like that would only happen to you. Have you ever done a long jump since then?
No, I haven't actually.
You think you still got it?
Yeah. Yeah. That's something that was actually fun doing. Jumping and saying, I felt like a kid again. So that was actually fun.
You know, the
triple jump, I don't think that's fun. But the long jump is actually cool.
Did you ever high jump?
I did high jump. My farthest was 6'1", 6'2", I think. I didn't make like 6'3", because it was like way taller than me. Yeah. I was scared of the thing hitting my head every time.
I went to summer camp for 2 weeks every year growing up, and track was part of it. And I'm not a track star at all. Like, I played soccer, basketball, and lacrosse, mm-hmm. but track was not my deal. I could do the 50-yard dash. I'm fast. But they always made us long jump and high jump.
Mm-hmm.
And long jump, okay, I could do. But the high jump, whoa. Like,
yeah, that was cheating.
Yeah.
But the long jump, I feel like
I crashed and burned on the high jump a lot.
The long jump, y'all only could jump like 14 and 16 feet, and that's a lot.
Right.
For women.
Yeah.
So, like, that's kind of cool, though.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Meet good people.
Let me tell you, I wasn't jumping that far. Okay, so track, you did that in the spring, and then you did all three of those in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And then when did you start getting serious about your football career? And I read something online last night. I was doing my homework on you. You originally committed to Kansas. Is that correct?
Yes, correct.
So when did you, for all those sports, when mm-hmm. did you decide, okay, football's going to be my sport that I try and go play in college?
My junior year, actually. So my sophomore year was when all of my offers started rolling in.
Mm-hmm.
And then towards the end was when I started getting a lot of offers. And so I was like, man, I think I'm going to just stay with football, stick to football, and just train for it.
So tell us about that process for mm-hmm. you. Because now if you were in high school now,
mm-hmm.
I feel like with all of the NIL and stuff like that, it would be wild trying to land you. So were you obviously were from LSU. Were you on their radar? I know that you obviously ended up choosing mm-hmm. them, but walk us through how you ended up at LSU.
Yeah, so at the time, I was getting a lot of offers. I really didn't want to go to LSU. A lot of people knew this.
How come?
I just wanted to get out away from home.
Like, okay.
I didn't want to be home. You know what I'm saying? A mm-hmm. lot of stuff was going on back home. I just wanted to get away from home and explore a little bit. Around the time I didn't want to play for them was when Les Miles was there. And that they weren't throwing the ball at all either.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So that was like not a good fit for me at mm-hmm. the time either. So I knew that wasn't something I wanted to do. Then Coach O came around. That's when they started to recruit me, actually, when Coach O got there. Coach O he came to my house maybe 2-3 times with Mickey Joseph. And for like my official visit with them, he came with all the coaches, and they came to my house, and that ended up, you know, showing me like how much they really wanted me and stuff. So that was kind of cool to have that, you know, that effect on the coaches and like for me. And after that decision, when they came and bring everybody, that made me realize, you know, I might need to go to LSU. Out of those choices, it was either LSU or Auburn. Auburn was somewhere that I wanted to go. And Florida, actually. Those two was two places that I really want to go. I just like Auburn because of their offense and stuff.
Who is the coach then?
Same person.
Gus Malzahn?
Yes.
Okay.
I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say.
He's no longer there,
yeah,
but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He's not right. Uh-uh. Damn.
He liked the sweater. He wore that sweater. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. So all of those schools were interested, and how did you end up saying, okay, LSU?
Yeah. I was committed to Florida at one point, too. Jim McElwain was the coach.
Okay.
I was real – I really loved Florida at the point, and that did not look good at LSU. Like, they didn't like that. So they started pushing harder at me. And they got me.
So that's what I was going to ask you about, because I got a ton of follow-ups here to this. You went to a place where, and I've never been to a game at LSU. Bucket list, would love to go. Mm-hmm. People say it's the best nighttime atmosphere mm-hmm. in all of college sports. The Swamp can, I've heard, get pretty loud.
It does get loud.
What was your favorite atmosphere to play at?
Auburn.
Really?
I promise you, Auburn was, I didn't even play. This was my freshman year. Okay.
Okay.
And this is my first time being at Auburn. They swooped in with the bird and came at the bottom, and the bird picked the whatever, I don't know, food off the ground, I guess, the hawk, war eagle.
Yeah, war eagle.
War eagle, that's what it was. It was a war eagle. And I was like, man, that's kind of cool. And then the whole stadium just got loud, and you felt the ground shaking. So that was kind of cool, though. I got the chills talking about it. That's crazy.
Have
so
you like, heard about their tradition of, like, TPing that tree? Have you heard about these traditions?
I haven't.
I lived in Atlanta before I moved here. Okay. And obviously SEC football is king down there. It's like people don't even know that the Falcons exist down there, because it's like Georgia's playing on Saturday mm-hmm. or Alabama or LSU.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just all college football. But I guess at Auburn, and I'm sure there's probably a Ja'Marr Chase fan out there that is an Auburn fan as well. I guess when they have like big time wins, they TP this one tree in the main campus, and it's like a big deal.
Like TP, what does that mean? Like with toilet paper?
Toilet paper, yes. Oh, like, have you ever toilet papered someone's?
I don't do that.
Okay, yeah.
I don't do that. I've seen it on LSU campus. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so you don't play at all your freshman year at LSU?
Okay, yeah, right. I started playing, I played a little bit, but when we got to the SEC games and the big games, they didn't throw me in as much because I was a freshman. They didn't really know much about me. And then, towards the end of the year, maybe like the last three games, they started like just end up. Well, I think, was that Joe the quarterback? What was that, Joe? I don't think so.
But I think
the last
not
game,
your freshman year,
no.
Your sophomore. And,
right.
Yeah.
Right. So my freshman year, that's when they started to put me in a little better, and that's when I started getting better with the plays.
I'm not even going to try and pretend to guess at who the quarterback was at LSU before Joe Burrow, because I feel like they legitimately don't exist and they don't matter.
I want to say it was Joe, actually, because I only played 2 years with him.
Okay.
So my freshman and sophomore year was the only time I was at LSU. My third year would have been with Miles Brennan or Max Johnson.
What year was that?
2020.
Okay, then yeah, Joe Burrow was there.
So 2018, 2019.
Right.
Right.
But he didn't really hit his stride until that
the next year.
Okay.
Right.
And there's also a coach, your assistant wide receivers coach,
Brad.
Was on staff at LSU, right?
Yeah, correct.
Because I actually talked to him this season for a story about your guys' wide receivers group, mm-hmm. and he mentioned just people think that Joe Burrow just showed up to LSU and was the Heisman player that he was, but he was saying that wasn't the case. Like, he really had to work hard at it to get himself where he was.
Mm-hmm.
So you go through your freshman year, don't really play a lot in the big games, and then your sophomore year, were you like, all right, this is the year mm-hmm. I'm going to show everyone I'm Ja'Marr Chase and I'm going to go ahead and win the nation's best football player award?
For real. That just ended up happening, actually. I just wanted to, you know, make plays on the field, you know, just finally get to show off my game in college, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, we ended up having one of the best teams in college football that year. And so much hype came that year, and everything blew out of proportion for us, and we ran with it.
How much fun was it to play at LSU that year? Mm-hmm. And we were just talking about the atmosphere. Like, I mean, that year will go down as one of the best for LSU fans. Mm-hmm. Probably it doesn't get any better than that. But, like, for a player, was it as much fun for you as it was the fans?
I can say that, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
That was definitely one of the best times I had in college. Mm-hmm. Just because we were winning so much, you know what I'm saying? Even the practices were like we just had – everything was just going our way at the moment, you know? So what could I complain about that year, you know? So,
right. Well, did you get, like, stalked on campus at LSU? Is that
– Nah, that was more of a Joe thing. So around that time, Joe was just, like, really, really famous on campus. And it was, like, we couldn't – so, like, we used to go out to eat dinner – like random times with the team, go to movies and stuff. And I remember one specific day we was, I don't know what was going on, Dragos, I don't want to say. And we pulled up on a bus, man. Joe hopped out first and got bum rushed by like everybody. Joe hopped back on a bus and they brung him around the back of the building because like it was just too bad for him.
Wow.
So that was just like, he was the only person that we knew like he was going to be famous, you know, so. That was the only person we had to worry about.
Because I just wondered at like a big school like that, and it's not even a big school like Ohio State. Like LSU is only football. Mm-hmm. You know, there's other schools where, yes, they're very good at football, but there's other sports that they're very good right. at basketball or whatever. I mean, I guess basketball, LSU is, I mean, Ben Simmons.
I see what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, I know what you're saying.
And in the South, it's football is everything. So yeah. I just wondered – for you, you know, when you were like walking to class or on the campus, you know, is it someone's like, hey, Jamar, can I take a selfie with you?
It was never like going to class or nothing. It would probably be like a Saturday, maybe like one of those days we're going out or something. That's probably it. Never like a regular day.
Yeah.
Like, because I used to go into the, what do we call that? Auditorium. Like, we called it the Union, though, at LSU. Okay. So we called it the Union, and that's, like, where you have, like, the whole lunch, cafeteria and stuff. Mm-hmm. So I used to walk there every day and, like, get smoothies and stuff. So it wasn't a problem.
But this is different than the slushies you used to get with Justin Jefferson.
Because
remember, I asked you about that story.
Yes.
That was my first interview with you and right before week one. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you were saying that you guys used to walk to the 7-Eleven and get – I call them – Slurpees.
I call them slushies though.
I call them Slurpees.
But I think I used to call it an icy actually. Jets used to get mad at me because I used to call it an icy and he called it a Slurpee.
Yeah, it's a Slurpee.
Or slush, whatever you want to call it. I still call it an icy.
I mean, we can put it out on Twitter and see what everybody has to say, but I think it's a Slurpee.
Okay. I'm in the South though, so like.
Yeah.
Yeah. You guys, we got different langos and stuff.
What was your go to flavor Slurpee?
Oh, I did all of them.
Oh, did you even put in like the Coke flavor?
Yeah, all of them.
Oh, come on. I did all of them. So your Slurpee probably looked gross.
It was great. It was great.
I did more of like the blue raspberry, kind of stick to one flavor. But I did mess around with the cherry Coke one, like the cherry flavor with
they're
the Coke.
I don't think they're that bad.
No. But the all together, that just doesn't sound good. Especially if it melts. A Slurpee melts, it's nasty.
Oh, you gotta drink it before it melts.
Yeah, you gotta. But then you get like a brain freeze. It's like there's a whole process.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, so Justin Jefferson to this day, still one of your good friends?
Yeah, I always call him. We always play the game, so we were cool now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you got to Gritty before him.
This year or?
Yeah, because remember I asked you.
I did. First game of the season.
Mm-hmm. You Gritty, because he didn't score a touchdown, and you did. But, and I wrote it in the story, but I'd like to give you this opportunity because we have this on video now. You taught Justin Jefferson the Gritty,
yes,
correct?
Yes.
So
the only problem with this one is that he did it first in a game.
In the NFL?
No, in college.
Oh,
he did it first
okay.
in college. I was too scared to do it in college because I
didn't
want to
get a flag. You were scared to Gritty? Oh.
At that time, we was getting flagged. So, like, our celebrations had to be, like, making it look like we're getting off the field. So we didn't know how to do it yet.
Right.
So Jets did a Texas game in the middle of the touchdown, and they didn't say nothing. So after they didn't say nothing, that's when we just were like, okay, we're going to do it now.
So where did you learn the Gritty?
My homeboy is from New Orleans. His nickname is Gritty. So he just named the dance after himself, and he just was like, you know, start doing a dance at, like, when y'all score, make some videos of it, you know what I'm saying? And then after that, we just started blowing it up, and it just came worldwide.
Well, yeah, because I feel like you're downplaying your friend just, like,
Gritty?
Made up this dance. But now, I mean, you guys have made a name for this dance.
Yeah, yeah.
But your friend started it, and then you showed it to Justin Jefferson. Jets. Is that, like... You're at your house and you're like, hey, man, like, watch me do this dance? Or, you know, like, how did you show him the dance?
I don't know. I want to say this started in the locker room because me, Christian Fulton and Jamal Pettigrew, guys I grew up with, like, the whole time at LSU. They're from New Orleans, so we was always bonding. And I think we must have, like, seen it over Twitter or Instagram. And we just started learning and trying to do it in the locker room. And that's when we just, the whole locker room, we just started a wave in the locker room with doing the gritty. And then, like, we just started doing it at practice, got to the games, and now we're in the league doing it. So, like, it just all took its time.
Does it bother you at all that when people think of the gritty, the first person they think of that started it is Justin Jefferson?
I don't get bothered by it.
Okay.
I don't mind.
Okay.
I mean, it's just a dance. I didn't make it up. So, right. Like, that's why I really don't mind.
Right.
But, I mean, it's cool.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a dance to me.
So, who else from LSU besides Justin Jefferson are some of your closest friends that are maybe football players that people know their name?
Christian Fulton. Everybody knows that mm-hmm. one. Jamal Pettigrew, somebody I'm close to still. Racy McMath, plays for the Titans now. Mm-hmm. I was cool with a lot of receivers. Mm-hmm. I was in a lot of receivers.
Is there an alumni LSU guy? So what I think is cool about LSU is
Duke Riley.
So funny story. I actually covered Duke when he was drafted by the Falcons.
Mm-hmm.
Great guy. Very personable. Fun to watch at practice. He's a dancer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He is.
Yeah.
He is.
He's playing for the Dolphins now, right?
Yeah.
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 LSU's cool in that it even if you didn't play with someone, it feels like you guys have like a family and fraternity where mm-hmm. you always look out for one another.
Yeah.
Or if you are an LSU Tiger, you know, like because Odell, mm-hmm. Jarvis, those guys.
Yeah, I could agree with that. Duke definitely looked out for me.
You know, Patrick Peterson.
I'm not really cool. I'm cool with him, but I never got to sit there and chop it up with him. Mm-hmm. Like Jarvis Landry is somebody that, like out of all my idols, Jarvis Landry was one of the first people I actually had a chance to sit down and talk to about football, life. You know, things in general. So that was kind of a good side, that something I wanted to do. You know?
He was a free agent for a while before he signed with the Saints.
Yeah.
And I think there was some chatter, like, I wonder what it would look like if Jarvis Landry joined the Bengals and then that became the foursome. And then he got another LSU Tiger here. And then at that point, are we just changing the Bengals colors to purple and gold?
We might need to.
Okay, so we talked about LSU for a little bit, but then now I want to go on to you and Joe have that unbelievable season. You win the national championship,
mm-hmm.
and then you did. So obviously the picture of Joe with the cigar is a meme for the rest of his life, but were you a cigar guy too? Were you smoking a cigar and they just didn't care to shoot you?
I never lit it up.
Okay.
I just act like I was smoking it.
Okay.
They was too strong. The smell right. is disgusting for me. That's why I can't do it.
Yeah. And it seems like a lot of the LSU alum came for that. I think it was Odell that said right before the Super Bowl that he like chopped it up with you guys in the locker room for that game.
Yeah, he did.
Seemed like that locker room was probably pretty lit, right?
It was lit, actually. Yeah. That was a crazy day all around, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. So then you go to the White House.
Yeah.
And I was looking at the video last night because I remember seeing that. Mm-hmm. And obviously I didn't know – I knew who you were then. But now that I'm like, okay, I, you know, covered Jamar Chase. You don't get a lot of screen time in the video, which is surprising to me.
It's okay.
Because I feel like you probably created that dance or did that dance a lot,
mm-hmm.
the Get the Gap dance.
Oh, you're talking about that dance?
Yeah,
that
video.
Was like, that's like a.
That went viral from you guys.
Yeah. I mean, that's an old South New Orleans theme song. We just wanted to make it back popping again, actually, when we came out. I think we did that one in the White House, and we did another one before. That's why we got it to blow up in the White House. And everybody in the White House was low-key trying to do it with us because we was trying to make like a video to go viral because we was in the White House finally after the championship. So we was trying to go crazy in the White House with the Get the Gap video.
But it kind of cuts off before you get in line to do the dance, which I was kind of bummed because I wanted to bring that up today. And then I was like, oh, wait, it kind of cuts before it gets to mm-hmm. you kind of getting to the front of the line. So you guys rehearsed that?
Nah, we did it like right before, like a pre-rehearsal right before we started. Yeah, I mean, that was it.
See, you know, this is good because, you know, guys getting together to plan what they're going to do to go viral. You know, I feel like sometimes everyone's like, that's a girl's, were they going to get prepared to like do a TikTok mm-hmm. together to
yeah.
take, what photo are they going to take? No, guys do it too. You wanted to make a viral statement.
I mean, yeah, it depends what you're talking about. That's true. That's true.
So that video obviously continued your, like, you just became these, like, cultural icons, honestly, after, I mean, it was, you're winning Joe's Smoking Joe, the meme, and mm-hmm. then you're hitting the gad at the White House. Yeah. I mean, it just went on and on that we kept talking about that LSU team.
Yeah.
So you go to the White House and do all of that. And then what was life like? Because then you just, you decided you weren't going to come back and play, right?
Well, no, actually, I never had a situation, like, I never thought about opting out until after camp, actually. So, mm-hmm. like, the thought of opting out didn't come until, like, maybe the middle of camp when COVID hit. And then at this time, that's when all the Black Lives Matter was going on, too. So, that's when it hit me, like, middle of the camp. That's when I sat down with Coach O and told him that, you know, I'm thinking about opting out. And
so you had every intention of playing in that season.
Yeah. Okay. I wanted to play.
That's interesting. And I'm glad we're talking about this because I feel like that's not reported. All everyone talks about is that you opted out. And it seems like it's just assumed that that would have been a decision you made way in advance. Before. But that's interesting to learn.
When that season came, like, I was wearing number 7 that season. Like, I didn't want to opt out when it happened. You know what I'm saying? I was going through it myself when it happened. Like, I wanted to come back. You know what I'm saying? But at that time, I was doing that for myself. You know what I'm saying? You know, I had to stand up for myself. It wasn't a team thing. It wasn't a personal thing. It wasn't a coach thing. But I was doing something for myself and for my future and for my family. So that's what I decided to do. And when I made my decision, a lot of people didn't like that. You know what I'm saying? So they were basically throwing me under the bus and making it seem like I was being a bad person for what I was doing. So, I mean.
Well, walk me through the decision, though. So you go into camp and you realize there's a lot going on, and then you take some time to figure out what you want to do. What ended up being the reason that you decided you weren't going to play at LSU that season?
Yeah. So the biggest thing was, you know, just getting health right. Because at that time, my dad and my family had something going on, like health-wise. That's what I'm talking about. And at the time, we didn't know what COVID was going to do to us, and I didn't want to bring that around my family. And I had to make a decision on what I wanted to do, if I wanted to stay there. I mean, I could have easily stayed there and left him alone for, what, years? Like a year, like a full year, because I think that's what you had to do when mm-hmm. COVID hit. And I sat there and thought about it for a long time. It was stressing me. You know what I'm saying? I even talked to Mickey Joseph, one of the receiver coaches. You know, I sat down with him, talked to him, let him know what I was thinking, what I was going through, you know, and he just told me, you know, follow your mind. You know what I'm saying? I'm always here for you. That was my right hand at LSU. You know what I'm saying? If I had a problem, that was who I would talk to. And when he told me that, I was like, okay, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to sit on this, dwell on it for a minute. And when I feel like I'm ready to make my decision, I'm going to tell O. And I told Coach O, we had a march for the Black Lives Matter. And after the march, we went to I don't know where it was. It was like somewhere like the whole team was there. And we was just sitting there and Coach O came in. And he called me on spot and was like, Jamal, you got something to say? And I was like, nah, I'll just talk to you after, you know what I'm saying? I don't know if he knew that I was already in motion mm-hmm. making this happen or whatever. But after the meeting, that's when I walked up to him and was like, Coach O, I don't think I want to play for you. I don't think I want to play football this year. I don't think I'm going to just opt out for health reasons and make sure my family's right for the future. And he didn't like that. And of course, I'm pretty sure he didn't like it. But, I mean, you got to do what's right for you sometimes. It's hard to.
So,
it's hard to please everybody.
A lot of people, you got to be really good to do mm-hmm. what you did because
you got to stay strong too. Like, you, like, backlash. There's a lot of backlash, like, fans.
Yeah.
Friends.
Well, and is Jamar being selfish?
Right. Because that was the whole thing at the situation. Like, am I really being selfish? Is this for me? Is this for, like, you know what I'm saying? So, at that time, that's when I deleted social media. I was making sure, like, I didn't have any distractions. At that time, I just went straight into training to make sure my mind was clear and just stay focused on what I was preparing myself for in the next future. So that just working out that whole break and then me watching LSU play, it was not good for me.
Yeah.
It just wasn't good for me. I was actually calling Mickey during the season, actually, trying to give him plays I think they could run and stuff. So like I was being a coach from home, trying to just giving, I was still paying attention, but I couldn't do it after six games. After like the fourth, fifth game, I stopped watching LSU football.
So I'm really glad that I'm getting the opportunity to ask you this, because the public perception was that you basically were so good that you didn't need to play. I mean, there was a lot going on that year.
That's what was the main topic of – that was everybody's main topic
that
of
your agent or whoever was in your camp was saying, you are so good with the COVID year and not being a normal college football season that you didn't need to play and you could still be a top five draft pick.
Right.
That is wasn't actually the case.
That wasn't the case, no. I didn't – at that time, I didn't even have an agent. So, like – I was getting, like, I don't know. I think Coach O called me one time and asked me about it. Like, is your agent making you do this? And I was like, I don't have an agent, you know what I'm saying? But when it all happened, everything was happening so fast, so many rumors and stuff was going on. And that's when I was like, you know, I just need to get away. Just get away. I took trips with my family. And I think that's what made me, like, just calm down with myself.
So you've referenced your family a lot, your dad. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they were at the Super Bowl, weren't they with they you were. When you won the award?
Blinkoff Award?
No, the Offensive Rookie of the Year.
Oh, yeah.
With the team?
They were there.
So.
In LA, yeah.
Do you have siblings?
I do. I'm the middle child. I got two brothers, two sisters, yeah.
Okay. Where are you? You're the middle child, what age is that?
Right.
About?
So I'm like I'm the second to last.
Okay.
I'm second to last.
Do they come to a lot of your games here in Cincinnati? Are they pretty into
my
the
family?
Football thing?
Oh, yeah. My parents.
Yeah. Well, everyone.
Not everybody. Okay. Not everybody. Like, my parents, every game, and my brother does, and my cousin does. So, like, a selected few can make every game. Most of the time, it's just my parents.
Your parents come up to Cincinnati for the games?
Yeah, every time.
Okay,
they
awesome.
They don't miss a game.
They go to your road games too?
Yeah. My father hasn't missed a game. He hasn't missed not one game in my life since, I can't tell you. He's never missed a game for
me. Is he like a coach, another coach for you?
No. He's quit it though. He's quit that. I actually used to get mad at him for yelling. He used to yell at me in games.
So did my dad.
Yeah, that's not cool. I hope I'm not like that with my son when I'm older. That's not cool. But he actually started giving me some space, started letting me do my own thing, and he realized that I could do it on my own without him screaming at me, you know? Mm-hmm. So I'm glad he left me alone.
So obviously your family seems to be very important to you. Mm-hmm. What's it been like for you to go through this process of now being in a position where you can share these moments with your family?
It's been good, actually, just to see the difference in my life from now and then, and, you know, from the support that I have now, just everything has just been a difference for me, you know, but it's still a blessing. It hasn't been a curse yet.
Biggest piece of advice your dad's given you that you take to heart?
On-spot questions. Love them. I don't know. I can't tell you off the top right now because majority everything he told me was most likely sports related stuff.
Same.
So one thing I could say was when I was younger, he put me on game, and I did this until like middle school. He used to rub me down with baby oil so I could break tackles, and I swear I thought it would work, and I went on with it until middle school. I used to rub baby oil. I used to let him do it though. He used to rub baby oil on my shoes, on my legs, and on my arms.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was something I never heard that until he got me doing it. So I did all of it till middle school, and then I guess that triggered in my mind that the first tackle is just not going to break me.
So you sit out the year and you make your decision. Were you worried at all after the year when all the draft talk started, and did you go to the combine? Did you do anything at the combine?
Did I go to the combine? Yeah. I did something.
Did you run?
I did. So like my combine was at LSU.
Okay.
Cause you know,
you knew the big one,
right? Andy. That's why I'm rethinking about everything. Cause yeah. everything was messed up my
right.
year.
Yeah, I keep forgetting it was COVID.
So
yeah.
we did everything at LSU, and I don't even think we had a combine actually. So like our combine, and what's after the combine? The pro day.
Yes.
So the combine and our pro day, I think it was just like one big old day.
Wow.
And that's how we did it that year. So that's how all the draftees did it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So were you worried at all by sitting out that that could potentially mess up where you would get drafted?
I wasn't worried about it, but it was always a thought in the back of my mind. You know what I'm saying? Like, is that something they really worried about? You know what I'm saying? Like, what? But then again, it's so much going on, so many rumors in draft, you don't really know what to think about. So I just tried to stay positive the whole time. But then once Joe started texting me, I was like, okay, I might have a chance of being his pick, you know what I'm saying? So that's when everything just flew out the window when Joe started texting me.
When did he start texting you?
After the pro day, actually.
Okay.
After the pro day.
Because there was a big discussion. Did you keep up with it all of the Bengals? I mean, social media, you can't get away from it. But the big debate was, are the Bengals going to take Penei Sewell to protect Joe? Because it was mm-hmm. right after that year where he just got, you know, crushed right. and hurt his knee. Or are they going to take one of his most dynamic wide receivers he's ever played with and someone that could potentially change the offense? But right. I think because the Bengals had already had T and TB, that a lot of people thought they're going to take the offensive lineman.
The only thing that I did see during the draft was the little post they made with Penei blocking and me down the field and Joe getting hit. You know what I'm talking about? So that was like the only thing that I did see. But I never did like pay attention to it because, I mean, it's just fans talking majority of the time and they're not making a pick. You know what I'm saying?
I don't remember who picked before the Bengals.
It was the tight end. Kyle
Pitts. Yeah. Did you think you were going to Atlanta?
I thought I was going to Miami. I thought I was going to 3 until they moved, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then they took Jalen Waddle later on.
Yeah.
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 You know Jalen?
I know Jalen a little bit. Me and him cool. We did the overtime thing. That's how I got to be cool with them. Him and Najee Harris.
What's the overtime thing?
You haven't seen it?
Mm-mm.
Basically, it's just they followed me around during my training. They came out here, flew out here, and watched me pick houses a little bit. So that's basically what it was, the training, what I did to be prepared for the draft, basically. Gotcha. That's all it was.
So was your year, did you get to go to the draft?
Yeah, I went to the draft, yes.
Okay, so you decided to go not watch at home.
Yes, correct.
How come?
It's a one in a chance lifetime. Like, you don't...
Yeah.
You don't walk across the stage every day, so... that was something that I would love to do. You know what I'm saying?
That's what's interesting. It's becoming a lot more guys don't want to go.
Wanna do.
They want to have the party at their house.
Because they want everyone to go.
You know
what I'm saying? But I wanted to walk across the stage. I mean, growing up in life, you've seen everybody go on stage, flip the hat, do their own celebration. Zeke came out with the crazy suit with the button. So, like, I mean, you show off your fashion on the stage, you know, your personality. Like, so, like, it's more into it. And then you might go out and meet new people. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, like, that's what the whole thing about me.
Yeah. Well, so I want to ask you about your fashion and what you wore that night, but we're continuing on in the timeline. So you get drafted by the Bengals and then you don't move. Well, I guess 2 weeks after is rookie minicamp. So it's kind of happening right away. What was the first thing Joe Burrow texted you when you got drafted by the Bengals?
Make sure your bag's packing ready. Yeah, that was what he told me.
Before they picked you?
He told me this the night before the draft. Make sure your bags are packed and ready.
And so you're like, all right, I think I'm going to Cincinnati?
All I said was okay. That's all I said. I didn't believe it. But then he proved me wrong.
So that's awesome. So you get here, and when did you first link up with Joe?
I want to say the day after I got drafted, because I flew in the next day. And they had me stand at the hotel. I can't even remember because it happened so fast, man, honestly. Like, now that you got me thinking so much about my first year, the beginning happened so fast. But I want to say like maybe 2 weeks in the camp or the first week in the camp. Because when I first got out here, I didn't do much. I just crashed at the hotel and was walking around trying to explore new things. I didn't hang out with Joe yet.
Well, then didn't you move? You guys, you wanted to be close to him. How'd you guys end up living next to each other?
That's a rumor too.
Okay.
That's a rumor
here,
too.
Just set okay. these rumors. This yeah, is what we're here too. For.
So I just ended up getting close to Joe because we had the same realtor.
Okay.
So she picked out some good houses for me.
So it wasn't because you were like, we're going to go run routes in our backyard together. I got to be close to my quarterback.
Yeah. I didn't know she told me he stayed on the street until she showed me the house after I said I like this house. She was
okay.
like, oh yeah, Joe stays down the street too. I'm like, really? I'm like, damn.
Were you like, ooh, we might need some space?
Yeah, I might need to move, but it's cool.
Yeah, because I remember when I first got here, everybody said Joe and Jamar are neighbors. And I guess my first thought was when he moved here, he wanted to be close to Joe, mm-hmm. but that's clearly
and they got another thing going around saying I was knocking on doors trying to get Joe somebody's house. That I think that actually low-key happened. That did kind of happen.
Wow.
So the house I'm in now, I was looking for that house, but I knocked on the door next to it. And the dude was like, you want to see this house? I was like, I don't know if this was the right house. I was like, yeah. And I beat the realtor there. That's why that ended up happening like
okay.
that. Yeah. And he really did show me like his whole house. So that was kind of cool.
So we're setting the record straight on a number of things here today. I love this. Okay. So you move to Cincinnati, get yourself acclimated here, and then you have your OTAs. Since we're talking about things,
okay.
I would love to ask you about your transition. The comments, did you think the comments that you made about the ball?
Blown out of proportion.
Okay, let's talk about that whole thing.
Yeah.
So what do you think was the biggest reason why you felt like you maybe were dropping the ball as much as you were?
Just in-game reps, that's
yeah.
all.
I mean, so you felt like because
a whole year.
Right. So you felt like that was the main
yeah,
reason.
You just got to get back into being in the game because mm-hmm. practice and game are totally different things, you know what I'm saying? Like one's faster, one's slower. One you actually have time to think, one's just like, you know what I'm saying? It's fast paced. So that's just crazy how they just tried to blow everything out of
were
proportion.
You at any point
Oh, it
Did
messed
it
me up a little
you?
Bit. It,
that,
hell
the,
yeah.
The fact that it was magnified to the point that it was.
Joe had to calm me down at one point. It messed with my mental a little bit because, mm-hmm. shit, I never went through that.
Right.
Like, dropping that many passes in my life before. Like, everyone knew me. I was getting, like, high school, I was getting nicknames, Hans Chase, All-State. No, just for catching good. So,
well,
like,
I think that's a big reason why
people did it
because you read these scouting reports. Mm-hmm. There was nothing on, and I wasn't covering Bengals at the time, mm-hmm. but I don't think there was anything on your scouting report that said
he
drops
can't
the
catch.
Ball a lot.
Exactly. And at the time, I probably should thank him for doing that because they kept me motivated. You know what I'm saying? Like, they made me work harder. And Joe made me work harder too. You know what I'm saying? Joe seeing how pissed I was. Like, I didn't know why I was dropping stuff. I used to look at my hands like something was really wrong. So, I'm glad Joe was one of my teammates on all my side. You know?
What did he say to you when he had to calm you down?
He just told me that, you know what I'm saying? I know what you're going through. I'm going through the same thing, you know? And that's when, I think this when he was coming back off his leg injury at the time, mm-hmm. and he wasn't moving full speed yet. And mm-hmm. He was saying like, bro, I can feel myself not there yet. And he's like, it's pissing me off too, but you know, these drops are not something you normally do. You know what I'm saying? I know what you do can do in the game. So don't worry about it. You know, just constantly do your stuff, practice, be great, and work hard, and we're going to be there.
So I remember the press conference where you talked about the ball being mm-hmm. different.
Yeah.
And you just said it got blown out of proportion.
Yeah.
But that is a thing.
That
I think you
thing.
Were just one of the first people to ever come out and say
and
it.
And say it. That's all it was, I feel like.
So did the ball difference take a little bit to get used to?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I mean, it's a bigger ball. Mm-hmm. That's why it's a difference. It has nothing to do with the stripes, like, but the ball itself, you got to open your hands a little wider, you know? Everyone's taught to put their fingers, their thumbs together to catch a football, right? But once you get here, you got to open your palms up a little more. The ball's a lot fatter, and a quarterback is throwing it a little quicker, too, and faster.
Mm-hmm.
Like you get into the lead, the windows are tighter. Everything's tighter, quicker, faster. So you got to adapt quick. And I didn't do that really quick until I got into the games. So, I mean, the preseason helped for rookies. I mean, if you're a rookie and they're giving you the preseason, that's what it should be for, to work for.
Well, but then you were dealing with something different. It was because you're a top five draft pick. You were the best wide receiver in college football. In everybody's eyes, you don't get the chance to make a mistake.
Exactly.
You're a receiver. You're supposed to catch every single ball.
Exactly.
You don't get that opportunity.
Exactly.
I can't imagine what that's like to process all of it, you know, mm-hmm. with social media being how it is. I mean, I put lacrosse in college. And
really?
I remember, yeah, at UC. But I can relate to I'm not trying to compare myself. People crush me on social media if I'm over here trying to compare myself to you on an athletic standpoint. But I remember going to like college recruiting camps and you drop one ball and you're nervous because then people see you drop the ball and then you're putting more pressure on yourself. And I had no issues ever dropping the ball, but then I got in my head and then I'm dropping the ball more and I'm
right.
like, what, you know, it was this reactionary
yeah.
thing. And mm-hmm. I think the coolest part about what you're talking about right now is that you're a human being at the end of it. Like,
right.
it's a lot easier to sit behind a keyboard
and
say why anything. Can't Jamar Chase catch the ball? This is what he was drafted to do. But, you know, all of that can play a role in, mm-hmm. in someone's mental. And then you come out on the field and it's in your head, not to mention every single person that's asking about it standing right at the end of the end zone
right.
where the media
I
gets
I feel like
to
a lot
stand.
Of people who make those comments are people who probably never played the sport. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I would put them in my shoes and let them just go play football mm-hmm. and learn. And football is a lot, actually.
Yeah.
Like, it's really a lot.
Yeah.
But just, like, having a mental – like, football is something you have to be mentally tough for.
Mm-hmm.
And LSU was some place that they really built it in like into our brains to do.
So you felt like almost now looking back that you're a year removed from it, what you went through during that time when you were reading all these things and people are getting your head about catching the ball, something that you know you can do better than almost anybody in the world, motivated you more? And do you think that maybe had a domino effect on this amazing season you had last year?
It could have. It could have. I'm not saying that's what it is, but it definitely could have, because I definitely got really motivated once I started hearing a lot of bad things about me. So it definitely had a chance to be.
So note to self, I'm sure probably 31 other NFL coaches are hoping that nobody tries to gas you up again, because an even better Jamar Chase would be scary for a lot of people. You know, what's interesting about what you said about all of this is I remember talking to TB this year and I wanted to learn more about his start into the league. And people think that TB was just great from the start. He told me he really struggled in his first year. He went through a tough first year too.
They say that a lot about people's first years. Like,
yeah.
And then again, like, they have people who might not be ready their first year. You know what I'm saying? They might not be ready their second year too. So, like, it's all about your timing and your preparation too. That's another thing. Like, in TB's situation, I feel like I didn't even watch him a lot at that time. You know what I'm saying? At that time, when he got drafted, I probably didn't even know who the Bengals were.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I did watch him in college, but once he got drafted, I didn't hear about him again because I didn't know where he went.
You think he's the most underrated wide receiver in the NFL?
He's definitely one of them. Definitely one of them. We should give him the ball more. But then again, that comes with moving him around. You know what I'm saying? Because they know what route he's finna run. He's been playing slot for 6 years. You know what I'm saying? They see everything on film, his tendencies and all. So move him around, get him the ball a little more. You know, that'll be
awesome. It interesting that you just said that, because if he gets the ball more, that means you get the ball
less.
And I think one of the coolest things about being able to cover you in this last year was that there's a lot of times the diva title is associated with wide receivers.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's deserved. Sometimes it's not.
I mean, I'm not afraid to ask for the ball, though. Like,
right.
I'm one of those receivers that I'll walk up to the head coach and be like, I want the ball.
Well,
I'll do that, but
I remember
I'm not cocky with it.
Right. But I think you also are, you're demanding of that, but you also appreciate what your teammates can do. Like you saying we should get TB the ball more, you know.
I feel the same way about Tito.
Explain to you.
I feel the same way about Tito. Like T does a lot of things better than I do. You know what I'm saying? Like short routes rise and long routes rise. So that'll be fun to see T do more of. You know what I'm saying? T's been a great, hell of a player for us last year. But I want to see T do more for just like, I want to see T do more for myself. You know what I'm saying? Just want to see him just do more. I feel like that'll be great just for me pushing him.
Do you think that your personality and that you're not afraid to go up to the head coach and say, throw me the ball more, is respected and well received?
It depends how you ask for it. That's all. I feel like it depends how you ask for it. Because I can't just walk up to Zach and be like, Zach, give me the goddamn ball. You know what I'm saying? He might look at me crazy and then, you know, so I probably got to tell Zach, you know, Zach, they playing me like this. Mm-hmm. You know, I see this. I want the ball on this play. You know what I'm saying?
Can you remember off the top of your head, I don't want to put you on the spot, but a time when you were able to diagnose something going on in a game and you went over and you were like, Zach, look, like this is.
I did.
And then it worked.
He didn't give me the ball, though.
Oh, okay.
He didn't give it to me.
I was going
to
say if there was a time.
I don't think he gave it to me, though. I did definitely walk him to one game and ask for like I asked for a play and the ball on the play. So he didn't give it to me. But now I know, I don't know if that'll work again. Okay. So that was my first time trying it.
Yeah.
But usually I just go to Joe and be like, Joe, throw me the damn ball. You know what I'm saying? I could talk to Joe like that.
Yeah. And what does he say?
Okay.
Okay.
Or if not, he gonna be like, you gonna catch it? Like he do me that to piss me off. You know what I'm saying? So when I want the ball for real with Joe, I'd be like, you can't throw far. You know what I'm saying? And that's him like, okay, you want the ball? Now go get it. That's how he treats it.
So week one, you go on the scene and you absolutely dominate against the Vikings and you continue on. And I feel like the game that really set you apart was the Ravens game. 200 yards, right?
Yeah, 206 yards.
But you had said all along, look, you had goals that you wanted to achieve.
Mm-hmm.
Did you surprise yourself last year with how good you were?
I surprised myself, yeah. I mean, yeah. I know what I'm capable of, but at the same time, I always surprise myself. You know what I'm saying? Like, one of my goals weren't to get 200 yards in a game, and I succeeded that with 66 yards. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I surprised myself at a lot of things I do. You know, I made a one-hand catch in the Super Bowl. I wasn't trying to do that, but it just ended up happening because I surprised myself off reflexes and stuff.
You brought it up, so I have to ask. The clip, the picture.
Okay.
I'm sure you've seen it a number of times.
Yeah.
Jalen Ramsey on the ground.
Yeah.
Is that hard for you to watch?
It's not hard. It's not hard. I just wish Joe would have looked first my way. But then again, who knows what would really happen if he'd have looked first my way. That last play was just a lot going on.
Yeah.
I was tired. Because the play before that, I ran a go ball. And then next play, Joe called a go ball for me. So I'm like, I got to – 3 seconds, I got to – you know what I'm saying? I got to win. So who knows what would have really happened if he'd had like two more seconds, you know?
Mm-hmm. Wait, can I ask you a couple more questions?
Yeah, yeah, cool. You cool.
Okay. Because I have like a lot of stuff.
No, you're good. You're good.
But I don't want to keep you up. Okay. So the Super Bowl brings up an interesting question I have because Jalen Ramsey – went on a podcast this offseason, mm-hmm. and he talked about wide receivers that are the most difficult to face. Sorry, he didn't make the list, but which is kind of funny. But now I want to flip it
mm-hmm.
because I feel like we hear so many times from a cornerback's perspective, which are the hardest wide receivers to go against.
Yeah.
You have a full NFL season now. You face some top cornerbacks. Who, in your opinion, and I know you haven't seen them all, whereas all right. Jalen Ramsey is well into his career, who were some of the toughest corners to go against in the NFL?
The first one I have is Denzel Ward.
You see him often.
That's why. I put him first because he made good plays on me the first game, and I was playing really well, but I wasn't finishing my plays. Second person I want to say, maybe, what's his name? I'm horrible with names. This is bad.
Tell me team. I'll help you out.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to get to the team. I want to say, was Vegas.
Hayward? Casey
no,
Hayward?
No, 35. He was the only reason why I see him because he was a little longer. He was like one person that was a little long, had long arms.
Okay. Anybody else while I look this up?
Guy from the Chiefs. I don't know his number either. I think he's 35 too.
Yeah. Let me see. I'm pulling up the Raiders depth chart right now.
Yeah.
But really the only name you really know is
Denzel
Ward.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's fun because you guys are going to have some battles for this next couple of years because he signed that big time extension this year. Did you see that?
Yeah, I haven't seen it, but it's okay. Cool though.
I think he's one of the top paid corners now.
I could see that.
Joe talks really highly about him and
he
the
does.
Way he's,
I respect his game too, but he reminds me of Derek Stingley though.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I like him.
He kind of mimicked your situation in that. People were like, he's the greatest corner to come out in a while last year.
Yeah.
And then this year he didn't play as well. So then people were like,
he didn't even play in the beginning of the season. Cause I think he had that Achilles tear, I want to say, mm-hmm. or ankle tear or something like that.
Trayvon Mullen or Casey Hayward?
Mullen. Must be Mullen, dude. It's not Hayward.
Okay.
Hayward's 29.
Those were the two corners.
What's his
year?
Number? It's 30 something, right?
27?
No, could be somebody else.
All right, well, I'll look it up.
I could
and
be
get
wrong.
Back.
I could be wrong.
But Stingley.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the last 2 years ago, I remember hearing, and when he was just a freshman, how good he was going to be in the NFL. And then, you know, with all the smoke, is it going to be Sauce Gardner from Cincinnati?
Mm-hmm.
And then Stingley goes. And from the people that I've talked to, the football people, they say it wasn't even close. He was the best cornerback in the draft.
Yeah, for sure. I would say the same thing.
Okay, so Denzel Ward's a big one. So now I want to ask you about the wide receiver market.
Okay.
So I assume you at this point you've gotten to know if
Ooh,
you don't
this is a hard one.
If you don't get to know them, you know their names, right?
The receivers?
Yes.
I know more receivers than DBs actually.
Okay.
Because I don't.
Who's your favorite wide receiver to watch in the NFL then?
To watch? Like film or like game? Like in like real game?
Real game.
Antonio Brown, like real game. Mm-hmm. I used to like watching him in real game.
Yeah.
But like now, this generation now, it would probably be Stephon Diggs. Mm-hmm. Probably Stephon Diggs.
Good counsel represent. Go.
I've been watching him for a minute though. I just like, you know, he just plays real shifty. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He know how to set his defenders up and he does a great job at it. You know what I'm saying? So that's somebody that I've been watching for a while.
His career is an interesting one because he had to overcome some adversity in terms of changing the way he was perceived because people automatically assumed him wanting out of Minnesota. He was that diva wide receiver.
Yeah, I did hear that. Yeah.
And then now he's in Buffalo and, you know, made the most of his career.
Then again, though, like with the diva thing going on, like people don't really know what's going on. You know what I'm saying? Like he could be that's a situation for him to get better in life. You know what I'm saying? Like he wants to go somewhere so he can succeed in life.
Right.
So like, who knows what's really going on?
Yeah. So the wide receiver market was one of the biggest headlines this offseason. It's just kind of how crazy it got and how expensive some of these veteran wide receivers are and why so many teams wanted to draft a wide receiver, trade up to get a wide receiver because then you get them on
their
rookie
deal. Did I leave out Davante Adams? I'm sorry.
Yes.
Yes, I did. I don't have an order. I'm just going to do those two.
Okay, so Davante Adams and Stephon Diggs.
Yeah.
Two favorites.
Yeah.
Davante Adams, there's a couple of football players. I've covered the NFL now. This will be my eighth season. And there's a couple of players that I've walked away saying, I he's unbelievable. Like,
yeah,
he is. And I'm watching from the press box, right? So I'll tell you my list. It was Aaron Donald.
Okay.
Because when I was covering the Falcons, they played the Rams out in L.A., and it was like a couple years ago. And he just – every time you looked, he was making a play.
Making a play.
Aaron Donald, Davante Adams. Those are two that I – right now I'm like
– Okay, if you're saying it like that, because if you're doing it like that, then I'm going to say Davante Adams and Kittle. Because my first time ever seeing him play was at home. And he killed us.
Yeah.
He was going crazy. I didn't know he was – and he was making, like, one-hand catches off his body and everything.
Yeah.
So, like,
He seems like he'd be a fun person to be around. He just has fun. Like he's his own person, you know, yeah,
I never chopped it up with him or anything, so I wouldn't know.
You don't get the invite to tight end, you? Did you hear about what they
do? I don't want to go there.
Do you think they'll ever do a wide receiver, you?
Nah, I don't want to do that either. That's too many people.
Yeah. Got a lot. So since we're talking about the receivers, has it surprised you at all how much some of these guys are getting paid?
No.
No.
They're just making it better for me at the end of the day. You know what I'm saying? So I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah, I'm cool sure you
with
don't.
It. I'm cool with it. They're just making a way for future for the younger guys coming on in life.
Yeah, it just seems like it's just a position right now that's just absolutely booming. And the top players are going to – they're demanding the top of the market. And that's why a lot of people – they got to make decisions. How many people can they pay? Then do they draft a wide receiver? And then you saw just the run on the draft. Mm-hmm. I was working the draft and it was just teams trading up because there was like five wide receivers that they had. Most teams had a first round grade on, I heard. Right. And it was like once one went, the next three just came off the board because a lot of people honestly are trying to emulate what the Bengals have been doing where it's like you and T are –
like you talking about with the old quarterback thing, mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah.
They did it in my draft for sure.
Right.
I don't know if they did it this draft.
Yeah.
Who the guys that did it?
What do you mean?
Like, did some guys go back to the old quarterbacks in this draft, the receivers?
Oh, no.
Oh, they didn't?
Because there wasn't really a quarterback that was that good. That no offense to Kenny Pickett,
I know what you're saying.
But it just – the wide receiver market is just absolutely insane right now. Switch. But I was saying that people trying to emulate the Bengals in that UNT – the Bengals took T top of the draft last year and then they followed it up with you the year after. Like, just because you have one doesn't mean you don't go address that the next year.
Right.
Because it seems like you can never have too many good wide receivers.
Yeah. I mean, another thing about the league is like – It's all beginning to be evenly teamed now. Mm. Like everyone's getting good again. Not that they were bad, but the level of competition is getting even higher now. So that's something that's going to make the NFL even harder.
So this year, what's on tap for you this year? You're going to make it pretty hard to replicate the same type of success you had.
Yeah. My goals are high. I try to think high of myself and goals highly. So as high as I can make it, you know, that'll keep me pushing myself. I'm not going to say any. Mm-hmm. I only have two right now. But I got to sit there and think about what I want to, you know what I'm saying, push myself into. Because that first year was unbelievable for myself. I wasn't trying to – I don't know what happened that first year.
Yeah. Do you think there's any chance you could make a run at 2,000 yards?
Oh, yeah. I believe I can.
Yeah.
If I can get 18, I can do two.
Yeah.
And my first year, I dropped a lot of passes. Like, and I finished with one of the least catches in for the rookies, for the Bengals,
yes.
I think.
I
got one of the least catches.
You broke
and I
a
dropped
lot of
about 13 passes out there. So, like, if we're doing the numbers on 13 passes, that's probably 2,000 yards right there. You know what I'm saying? So, who knows? Then we count the last play of the game. Who knows? That's another 100 yards.
Yeah.
So, like, who really knows what's going on?
Yeah, it'll be fun to see the evolution of the second year of you. Mm-hmm. But before I let you go, I wanted to ask you about your fashion.
Okay.
I talked to your jeweler on my podcast.
Okay.
I had Leo on my podcast. Okay. Yeah. He talked about the differences in designing for you and Joe and just how you're more bold with what you want.
Yeah.
How would you describe your style?
So his first piece that he made for me, it's not with me no more because we got it, not me and him, but my brand name, I had to change it. But it was a Family Ties Forever piece that he made for me. And it was like, I felt like it was a perfect piece he made. It was a circle pendant. Mm-hmm. And you know, he made it the exact way I wanted it. And it was like my logo, you know, I was coming out with clothes and all. So, he definitely did like a good design on it, and that's when I started to mess with him again and stuff.
So, your style is very, how would you describe it on game days?
I don't know. So like my style, I gotta be in a mood to feel what I want to wear. You're not like that. So like when you wake up, like you don't.
But you gotta have a big Rolodex of clothes to be like that.
Yeah.
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 Where do you shop to get your clothes?
Do you have
a stylist?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't call him a stylist because he don't tell me what to wear.
Okay.
He just
gives you options.
He just picks clothes for me and say, do I like it? And that's when I'll be like, no or yes. You know what I'm saying? And that's when I started going crazy on clothes once I found him. And it's basically just what I feel in the mood. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes I want to be comfortable. Sometimes I want to overdo it. Sometimes I want to come in a suit. So it's really just how I'm feeling that day.
Do you think you have the best style on the team?
Definitely top three.
Give me your top three.
TB Fresh, actually. T. Higgins is actually really, really fresh. Von Bell's one. Von Bell is definitely one. Jesse Bates come with it too. So those three guys. So I got Von. I'm going to do T and then Jesse.
Joe didn't make your list?
Joe be fresh, but those guys are outstandingly fresh. Like okay. those guys come with it.
There's levels of freshness.
They're all levels. They're, like TB said, big levels. They got levels to everything. So
does it surprise you how much his outfits become viral topics?
Who's?
Joe?
No.
I mean he's literally just wearing a black turtleneck and a chain, and it's now someone's Halloween costume.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's a trendsetter.
Yeah.
It doesn't take much for him to do stuff. But he's been on it this year. I'm not going to lie. He's changed it up a lot. I didn't expect that.
You got to bring it next year?
Him? Me?
You? With your outfits?
I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do next year. Okay. I don't want to do too much.
Yeah.
Because I'm only wearing it for about, 30 minutes? And then I'm taking it right back off.
Right.
And then if I go out that night, I'm most likely not going to wear that.
Right.
So, like, that's why you don't want to come to game day super, super fresh. You know what I'm saying? Because you're taking it off in like 30 minutes.
That is true. Yeah. All right. Well, before we head out of here, I did tweet out that you were coming on the pod. And I'm going to give some of the fans here that submitted questions an opportunity to feel like they are chatting with you. We got a lot of replies. Not as a surprise. Has Chase been to any Louisiana style or Cajun restaurant in Cincinnati? If so, what's your favorite?
I haven't. I heard they had a soul food out here, but I haven't been to any yet. The only spot I really eat at is Ruby's.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Big Ruby's fan too. How confident are you in getting the Triple Crown this season?
I'm confident in myself, you know, as long as I keep working, especially when camp rolls around, that's when it's going to really get hard on my body. So as long as I'm staying with myself and being on the right road, then I'll be all right.
So many questions about food. For people want to know where you eat.
I'm a food guy. That's funny. That's funny.
What are your favorite food spots?
Out here? Mm-hmm. So I do Ruby's. I do tacos on Tuesday. I'm not going to do tacos today. I'm a little tired, so I'm not going to do
Where
tacos.
Where do you go tacos?
I do Bakersfield. Last week, I tried this. What's the big tacos out here? They got, like, jumbo tacos.
I don't know. I'm not from here.
Okay. They're in Cincinnati.
Jumbo tacos.
It's not called jumbo tacos, though, but I just made that up. They got like big tacos though. They just super big.
We're gonna start something. You know, have you seen the clip of the LeBron going Taco Tuesday?
Yeah,
we're gonna start like jumbo taco over here on this pod. Okay, so big Ruby's, tacos, Bakersfield. What's your favorite spot in Louisiana?
I got two. My first one is New Orleans Food and Spirit. And I love chicken and watermelon. Chicken and watermelon is like a wing spot.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because there's probably a bunch of Bengals fans going to make that trip to New Orleans.
Yeah.
So, this year for your game.
Okay. So if they're going to do that, do New Orleans Food and Spirit. And they're going to be out there on a weekend. Rum House is tacos. That's a good spot, people.
Okay.
Rum House. I love Rum House.
Here's
That's tacos.
Your Louisiana tour guide telling you where to go.
If you want to eat... they got some spot called Mr. Ed's. They serve like po' boy sandwiches, seafood basically.
All right, moving along. Do you play chess? Do you play chess with Joe and Cheeto?
No, I don't.
You're not a chess
guy? I don't
know
how to play chess.
Okay, yeah, neither do I. I had Cheeto on here a couple of weeks ago, and he was telling me he seems like he's on another level with it. Favorite catch at LSU?
Texas game over the defender.
How do you think it will feel playing against the Saints back in your hometown for the first time?
I think it'll be better atmosphere than a championship.
Really? Wow. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see. The Saints have such a rabid fan base.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But how many of them are going to be torn in their emotions,
right? Exactly. That's why I think it'll be fun the most.
Yeah.
Is it really going to be black jerseys or is it going to be orange jerseys? You know what I'm saying? So, like, that'll be really, really be nice.
A favorite of your black, white, orange jerseys? Favorite jersey that you wear?
I like the all black because I could throw orange in it. Mm-hmm. I like to throw orange under my shirts, like under the jersey.
Okay. Which cornerback matchup are you most looking forward to next season?
Denzel Ward.
Twice a year. And then let's see, there's just one more that I wanted to ask. How do you help the other wide receivers elevate their games?
I talk trash to them and tell them they can't catch, actually.
Okay.
So I try to that's funny, actually. I can't even think of the word I want to say. How do you flip people's minds into doing them? What's the word?
Gosh,
you know what I'm
blanking
trying to
on
say.
It, yes.
You're trying to trick them into something you want to do.
I don't know. Blanking on it, too.
You know what I'm thinking about,
yeah,
though. You
yeah,
know what I'm
trying. Yeah.
I can't
like
get it out.
Like reverse psychology.
Thank you. Yes, reverse psychology. Yeah, so that's what I do to him. So I do that to TB a lot. TB likes to talk trash. So I talk trash to TB all day, and I tell T he can't catch. So that's something I do
Are those your closest friends on the team? The wide receivers?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's who I'm with majority of the time. That's why.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, I could talk to you for the rest of my afternoon, but you've already been generous enough with your time. So, Jamar, thank you so much for coming on and chatting with us. Wish you nothing but the best this year. And hopefully we'll have you on this time next year and we'll have some other things to talk about. Maybe a 2,000-yard season, some more fits, what you thought about your trip back to Louisiana and everything like that.
No problem. Thanks for having me.